Welcome to this very special hour, part of the Internet Advisor that we think really belongs to you, because since we started back in 1998, it has been where you ask your questions. 800-859-0957 is a direct line to a great group of experts we have in studio here, people who have been hands-on with computers for a long time. Shane Hamlin from Comptech Services, Bill Carver, a Mac expert working for Quicken now, and Matt Roush is going to stick around to help answer the questions as well. Dorothy, we're coming up to help you. Thank you for being with us here for this. This is the second hour of our program. And by the way, very soon, just a quick word for you, it's going to become even more important that you folks get in and get your questions asked in this hour, because starting at the beginning of April, we are going to be heard, only 1 hour of our program will be heard on WJR, our flagship station in Detroit. And that will be this hour, the 5 to 6 hour. But we will continue to do a 2-hour podcast. So we'll continue to have guests, and in our first hour, that will be on the podcast, and that will also be sent to our affiliates throughout the state. But for you folks who listen to us live here in Detroit, the good news is that you'll still get a full hour in which, from 5 to 6, you can ask your questions of the folks who are in studio here. And today, that's Shane Hamlin from Comptech Services. Shane, good to have you here as usual.
Oh, thank you.
And we also have Bill Carver from Quicken Loans, where you've also many years been involved in Mac Group as well.
Yeah, I've been with the Mac Group years ago. I haven't been with them lately, but that's only because I'm between Macs, but I'll be back there.
And Matt Roush is with us. Matt has been a longtime commentator on technology, and right now works with the Engineering Society of Detroit, promoting them. But Mac, you have, in terms of technology, what are you using there? PC?
Yeah, I've always been a PC guy. So right. I mean, I like Apple products
from a distance.
From something of a distance, right? I've got an Android phone too. So
Oh my goodness, there you go, complete set. Yeah. All right. Anyway, folks, that's the background, and me, Buster Brown, I've been around long enough to have picked up a few tricks and to have done enough dumb mistakes to know that I could share the solutions with you. But here's the key. The phone number is 800-859-0957. And Shane, I think you something you wanted to say before we get to Dorothy from Warren. We'll be with you in just a moment.
Oh, you know, I don't know if anyone knows this, but it is National Backup Month, or the day is coming on the 31st. So it's a
backup. That's
backup,
right.
Month, yeah, backup month. National. So just a reminder out there, everyone, get those backups done. There's tons of nasties out there that want to take your data from you.
All week long, we're getting emails from people about problems they have had, and I think 95% of the cases, if you've done a good backup, yes, there are pieces of software like malware bytes and other things that you can use to dig problems out. But for instance, last week we talked about the crypto virus, the ransomware. Mm-hmm. You can't dig that out.
I know, and it will infect. There's good backup, you know, like an external hard drive or a thumb drive.
Right.
But you know, they're susceptible to those crypto viruses and fire and theft and loss and you know, all those nasties. And then there's great backup, which is more of a cloud-based backup.
Yeah, and I think most of us, I don't know about the three of you guys, but I have all of them. I've got the backup to my Time Machine on my Mac, and then I also go to cloud-based as well.
And there's a lot of great ones.
And then you can also use things like some of the like OneDrive and
iDrive.
iDrive
is really good. It's simple. I've used a lot of them with a lot of different customers, and iDrive seems to be the easiest for them to get a hold of and get it, understand it.
So there's a lot of places online that you can save your stuff. So the key is, folks, back up. Okay, here we go. 800-859-0957. Give you a call. We'll be getting there to help you as well. Dorothy from Wharton, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Well, I've been having problems for about 2 weeks with this computer.
Okay.
It won't install the updates. It tells me not to power off or unplug my machine. Mm-hmm. They're installing updates 1 of 19. This has been going on for 2 weeks, and they still are not installed.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you, what operating system are you running?
Windows.
Okay.
Windows 7.
Windows 7. All right. Windows 7. And how old is your computer?
3 years old.
Okay. 3 years old is relatively new. It's a desktop or laptop?
Laptop.
Okay. Very good.
Any thoughts immediately, guys, on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the great thing about computing is there's several things it could be. Let me ask you this, Dorothy. Is this only happening when you're shutting it off or when you just want to run the update in general?
No, just when I shut it off.
Okay. What I would try to do is go ahead and run the actual update utility while you're in Windows and look for that error, why it's causing it not to load. What'll happen is when you're shutting it down, it'll sit there and get hung up on that error, why it's not loading, and it'll just stay there. It won't tell you why it's not loading. So what you'll do is just go into Windows like you normally would,
right.
And then you're going to go into your, you know, either open up your browser or go into your control panel, and you're going to open up the Windows Update option. And you're going to actually run the Windows Update option in Windows and let it run and let it download and let it install. And the one that is giving it the problem, it'll air up. It'll give you an error code. And with that error code, you can actually, you know, get advice from somebody like myself or look it up on Bing and find out really what that error is from.
Or go to Microsoft.com.
Because a lot of times, yeah.
And put that error code in there.
And right? They'll have a fix it for you.
Yeah.
That you'll just run and it'll fix that for you.
Okay,
I'm in the Windows Update now, and it's telling me to install the update.
Yeah, what you'll do is just go ahead and install those updates, and it's going to run and run and run, and it'll either work or it won't. But when it doesn't work, what will happen this time is you're going to get a code that explains to you why it didn't work, an error code.
Okay.
And that's and
it's
that's
telling
what,
me that it failed.
Yeah, you.
20 updates.
Yeah, try to do the update. Try hit the try again button.
Okay.
And see if it'll do it again.
And if it continues doing it again, then when you get the error code, and it'll show you, should show you under details, I think it is.
Yes.
It should show you
an error code on here.
Just hang with us just a little bit, and then we'll get that error code.
Yep. We're going to get on the, we'll talk you off the line, and we'll make sure you get that error code. But folks, in general, the key is to get that error code, and then you can begin to do a little more in-depth investigation into the solutions. We'll be back in just a minute. And again, 800-859-0957. And we're going to talk a little bit about tax time and TurboTax and a question we got that I think may help you. And our crew today is Shane Hamlin, Bill Carver, Matt Rausch, and myself, Foster Brown. And the number again, as you heard the young lady say, 800-859-0957. You know, guys, this is how we began back in 1998. I had a question about my computer and getting on the internet. And lo and behold, Gary Baker happened to be the person with online tech at that time. It was called BizServe, and he was the one who was providing me with my connection to the internet. And so I called him up, and we talked about it on the show, and everybody else said, hey, maybe I should call him with my questions. And that's how it all began. And it's a very important part of the program that we want to make open to you folks who can get in touch with anywhere you're in the sound of my voice, whether you're down in the Ohio area or you're out west in Michigan, anywhere you happen to be, Ontario as well. We'd love to hear from you folks. It's toll free for you, 800-859-0957. And in many ways, Shane, this is what you do all week long when people come into the shop and ask you questions.
All
about
week
things.
Long. I'm in the trenches fighting a good fight.
That's what I do. And again, 800-859-0957. By the way, guys, we had a question come in, and I want to, this fellow, John, has not called, but the question is one I think that really is pertinent this time of year. And his question was this: hi, guys, I wonder if I'm doing something dumb here. I'm doing my taxes with TurboTax, which is a program by Intuit that I think is about everybody uses, and it keeps telling me I need updates, about three so far. I've been clicking on the update buttons because they appear to come from Intuit. Now, he says, is there any chance I'm being spoofed? And that's always something you want to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Of course. I mean, anytime you've gotten an email from somebody,
right?
I always take any email that I'm
well,
getting.
Well, I don't think it's an email so much. It suddenly pops up and it says, you have an update. And he's saying, oh, do I really have an update?
Well, I mean, QuickBooks will do updates. I mean, when you go to load it, though, when you're running the software, it'll say, hey, there's an update. Have you run the update lately?
Right.
If you're not running the software and you're just in Windows in general and you get the pop-up, then no.
No. I don't know, anybody else here have the experience of that,
Bill? I haven't had that experience directly, but I do know that if you're concerned about it, the best thing to do is when you get into the program, there's a help menu, and right there, there's a check for updates. And so
there
if you
go.
Do the check for updates when you first get in, And if you get them updated, there shouldn't be any other ones coming down next. And
if if something else pops up, then it's suspicious. You know, by
definition. Exactly, so. And I like, you can go back in and check the update to make sure. Now, Ed, who couldn't be here today with us, was responding, and he said, I wouldn't be too concerned about all of the updates. He said he uses TurboTax, and I have as well. And he says, I keep on receiving updates every time I launch it. And I think that's very true with the tax software in particular, because there are always tweaks that are going on in terms of tax laws and things like that, or bells and whistles that they're changing. Mm-hmm. All right, and speaking of bells, let's go out to Belleville and say hello to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
What can we do for you?
I have to fill out different documents for work, and I put them in to save them, and it just seems to pick the PDF file. I cannot find them anywhere after they're saved. I cannot find them on my computer.
Okay, what kind of a operating system are you running?
It's a PC. It's Windows 8.
Windows 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it
easy?
And these that you say are PDFs.
That's what it says. When I hit, I hit the document. I hit the thing save as, and I put in a name, and it says at the bottom it's saving them in PDF files. Yeah.
Okay, that's the format that it's saving them in. It's not a place. It's the kind of format.
Oh.
It's essentially an image file that it has made of it. But there are a lot of other things as well. The public document file, PDF, mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, public document.
You can put
file.
It,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All
right.
Well, one thing I can think of, since you've got Windows 8, than maybe, is it coming from Microsoft Word that you're saving them?
I know I go to my association. It's for continuing education credits, and it's a form they bring up, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So it's their form that you're working with.
She's downloading it.
Yeah, and you're downloading it, you're filling it, you're doing some work with it, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, here's a great, since you've got Windows 8, here's a great idea. Go to the top right corner with your mouse where you get the little drop down with magnifying glass.
The loop. The magnifying glass.
Yeah, okay.
And then go ahead and just type in the document name.
Okay.
And you're going to see it's going to find it for you.
Okay, except I'm bad about calling it the same thing. Okay.
That's fine. I'm actually going to teach you how to do the wildcard search. So all you're going to do is you're going to do an asterisk.
Uh-huh.
And then a dot. And then, and then PDF. So you're saying anything with a PDF file extension, let me see it, and it's going to search your whole computer.
So Lisa, it's
asterisk, dot, and PDF. Okay,
right, asterisk, and that means anything.
That's
and
wild
then
card.
The dot, a wild card, then the dot, and then you put, for instance, you could put JPG after it, and it would bring up any picture that you have. But in this particular case, that dot PDF will bring up any PDF file that you've
got.
So
you want to look at, you know, what kind of pictures people are looking at on your computer. You can just put JPEG, and it'll pull up every single picture on your computer.
Or DOC for a document, or DOCX, as the case is. And the other thing, too, is I've found with Windows 8 that by default, I don't know if you found, are you working with Windows 8, Bill?
Yes, I am. Oh, yep.
Have you found recently that one of the things, when you go to save it, often it saves automatically to OneDrive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah,
it does that.
You know, and I looked there, and some of them have, and these don't appear to be there for whatever reason. Yeah.
Then the other thing I found was that it's automatically often saved to the download file.
Mm-hmm. Seen that, too.
Oh, okay.
So, in other words, it hasn't been put in any particular folder, but when you saved it, if you didn't indicate exactly where you wanted it to go, by default, it will dump them into the download folder. You find that map too?
Yeah, when I can't find something, that's where I look. So, you know,
very often.
And the download, and that's on that list on the, when you go to your documents, that's on that list on the left hand side, the download, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Now
you're running
Windows 8.1. I'm going to guess, right? You've had some of the updates, right?
Yeah.
And this is the terrible thing is I've been working with Windows 10, a preview version of it. Is there can you get to see the menus of the files?
Yeah, the files, you have that. You can actually take and make favorites of the places you'd like to save. So if you want to make sure it goes to documents, you can actually get it to where you can see your documents folder. And then just drag that little icon over to favorites. So you always have a place you can click to say, make sure it goes right there in that spot.
Excellent.
Oh,
and then
okay.
It also has a great, do you have a backup, by the way?
Since it.
Come on, get it back up.
This is what we call a pregnant.
A lot of things in the OneDriver, that SkyDrive thing, but
okay.
I haven't been able to find these to do it.
Yeah, you had it correct. OneDrive. It is now OneDrive. It was SkyDrive. They changed the name to OneDrive now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great form of online backup, and that's what we're talking about.
I have done that.
You want to get in the habit of having everything there. So that, and there's other benefits to that than just backing up and being secure. You know, if you're out of town and you need to look at a picture or a document, you can go to any computer and grab all your stuff.
Yeah, I just
get that from my phone, in my mobile phone.
And I work on a Mac all the time, okay? I have a MacBook Pro. I still have OneDrive that I can save things to. And when I drop it in there, my wife has a Windows, Windows 8 computer. I can go into her computer then and I can grab stuff from that OneDrive. It's a great way of doing it. And there's a lot of storage there too. What's the max on it? They might know.
It all depends. You can get six gigs for free, but then anyone has a Windows, if an Office account, I get a terabyte.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it a terabyte?
Yeah. A terabyte?
Terabyte. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking of going to 2 terabytes with Windows 10 release.
That'll be just enough to hold my cat videos.
I can see that. You look like a cat lover.
Lisa, the other thing, too, and this is not only for your information, for all the users of Windows 8, Windows 10, now it looks like it will be released to the public in the summer. So we're not very far off. And as I say, I've been using the Windows 10 preview, and there's a lot to love. A lot to love in there. Lisa, thanks so much for calling, and I hope that we helped you out.
Asterisk, star, or asterisk.
Dot PDF.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. 800-859-0957. We'll be back to answer your question when you give us a call. By the way, just a reminder for you that on Sunday nights, we edit and publish a podcast of our entire program, all 2 hours. And that will include, by the way, after April 1st, when we're going to be having 1 hour live on WJR, which is this hour where you can ask your questions. We will have both hours, and the first hour with guests, and then also the hour of questions, will be on that podcast. But you can go to internetadvisor.net, and on Sunday night, you'll be finding there our full podcast. And as a matter of fact, you should go to Facebook, because we have a Facebook page, and you'll find not only our podcast there, but often I find interesting articles throughout the week that I put in there as well. Oh, and when you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll not only find the show notes, but if you go down a little further, some interesting stories like, one that's out, guys, that really kind of gave me the chills in some ways, are these self-directed drones.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really spooky kind of story. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you see it there. Apparently the Swiss have done this. They have got this. They've been doing the exploring on this, but these things don't need to be controlled from the ground. They can do it all themselves. Mm-hmm. Does this sound like Skynet? Does this sound like Skynet?
Yeah.
Should we be worried about the machines eventually deciding we're useless?
Eventually, right?
Could become the next version of Uber, actually. Mm-hmm. You just get into this little plane and fly around.
I just interviewed a PhD student at Michigan State about this, about AI and, you know, where we are, the state of
artificial
AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, he says that our computer programs keep getting, you know, more intelligent, but there is, you know, when and where that becomes self-awareness is, I mean, that's not anywhere. We barely understand how the human brain works.
Yeah,
it'd be hard for us to design something that's actually conscious.
Yeah, exactly. So. But just the notion that these drones don't need any particular kind of commands from the ground. They can fly, and they apparently can sense the changes, and they do whatever drones want to do, I guess. Okay, 800-859-0957. And we've got Jesus from Detroit. Jesus, how are you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, I'm doing fabulous, and thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. Tell us what you can tell us. Apparently, you've got
help. I believe I have removed a virus from my computer.
Yes.
Without having to take it to a repair shop.
Wonderful.
And I'm very proud of myself, and I thought I'd call in and broadcast it to the show.
You know something, Jesus? That's a very good idea. And by the way, folks, we do like it when people call in and help us if you've got a particular piece of software or kind of a solution that works. So what was the virus you got, and how did you get rid of it?
Well, it kept coming on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's unresponsive. responsibly, unresponsive. About every 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, it would come on the screen, it's unresponsive, and it stopped running.
Okay.
So I kept following these prompts that come on the screen. What to do?
Okay, and
to
and,
you know, stop it.
So your computer was.
But if I had taken it to a repair shop, it was gonna cost me between $60 and $100.
Well, I'm.
Can I say?
Okay, Jesus, what did you do to get your computer to be responsive?
Well, I learned how to clear the browsing data by the week and by the with the browser and the cookies.
Okay, so what you did was
I thought cookies were something you eat with ice cream.
Okay, Jesus, it sounds like what he did was he cleared his cache.
He did. He cleared his internet settings. Probably reset it.
Okay, let's explain that a bit to people, and hang on, Jesus. We're going to see if we can explain it to folks what it means to clear your cache and how that can help.
Clearing the cache, when you go on the internet, especially in the days of dial-up when I had my big wall of America Online CDs, it used to be when you had that slow modem that the data would come across, and instead of having to retransmit it across the lines again, they would save on your local computer.
Right.
And so your computer refers to those. And, of course, if you're on the line for a long time and those files will build up and eventually your computer's full of that stuff and it takes so long to check that it actually
And one of them can be bad. One of them can be bad, which is in this case, I think, what happened with this unresponsive.
Right, you could have something sitting in there that you don't want sitting in there.
So it doesn't matter. It could be Internet Explorer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be Chrome. It could be Firefox. It could be Safari. Each one of those browsers will have a place that you can go where you can go into the tools or settings. And what do you look for in there?
Well, you're going to see someone will say clean cookie, someone will say clean cache, some will even just reset the browser.
Reset the browser.
And that'll go through and do several things besides get rid of your cookie.
We used to say with Internet Explorer, go to the far right of the tab, and there was one where you could reset the factory defaults. And what that would do would be often to solve the problem with the Internet Explorer.
And it would, yeah.
So that's, folks, just in general. And, Jesus, thank you very much for that. I'm so glad that you were able to cure your problem by doing that. It's kind of nice he got to share that.
It saved him some money.
It's a simple solution, but it often can solve the problems you're having with browsers. And the other thing that we often tell people, Matt, is to make sure you've got two browsers on your computer.
Right. That way you can probably have one that'll work if one gets hung up.
Exactly.
On Chrome, it's just basically Chrome settings. That's the browser that I use most of the time.
Exactly.
And so you have, you know, you can set that up to clear all that stuff every time you turn it off if you want to.
Right.
So.
And my Mac, I use Chrome most of the time, but I also have Safari there. Those are the two that I use. Opera is around as well as another one if you want to use that. Okay, let's say hello to Ramesh, who is with us. Hi, Ramesh, how you doing? You're having a challenge getting to some programs? Ramesh, I think, may have nodded off and taken a little nap. We'll see if we can find him, Eric, if he's still there. Ramesh was calling about an issue about accessing some programs. And we got Joanne with us from south of the border, down Concord Way. How you doing?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing very well. How can we help you here on the internet?
I haven't talked to you for a long time, but you've helped me so much in the past, so I'm hoping you can help me. Just to give you a little background and refresh your memory, several months ago I had called. I was researching switching from a Windows-based computer to a Mac.
Ah.
And I did. Now have an iMac and a MacBook Pro and still learning. And I've got some, I probably could ask a half a dozen questions, but I have one thing that's driving me absolutely crazy that I'd just be so happy if you could help me with.
All right.
I regularly, on my Windows computer, would create a document in the Word program, and then do I would insert multiple hyperlinks. This is for instructions for sewing classes, and I would, you know, direct people to websites for various information.
Excellent.
And then I would at the end do a save as a PDF file, because I would distribute it as a PDF file.
Right.
And all of my hyperlinks would be active in the PDF file.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased the Word for Mac, because I'm trying to work mostly on the Mac side of my computer as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the exact same thing. I create the document in Word. I do a save as a PDF. Mm-hmm. When I open it up in Adobe, none of my hyperlinks work.
Are active. Ah, Bill,
they
what do you
work in the Word program?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
This obviously is a little, you know, a little bit of a different type of Word program,
mm-hmm.
but they do not work in the PDF, and I have to save the file, go over to my, I save the Word file, I open it up in my old PC,
mm-hmm.
and I do the exact same process, and all of my hyperlinks work.
Okay, so the problem is then on the Mac side, it sounds like, Bill.
Yep, and actually what's happening to you is... one of the problems is that the version of Word you have is 2011, which is the latest version. And
correct.
Quite frankly, it's a little long in the tooth these days.
It is. So. They're coming up with a new one very, very shortly.
There's a new one on the way that's going to be a solution.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
Ah.
Now, do you have a program on your Mac called Pages?
I do.
You do. You might
excellent.
Be able to take that and take the Word file, open it with Pages, and then save it. Pages
you
actually
know,
is a little better.
You know, I did try that, and it changes the formatting. And unfortunately, I'm working with a template that has actually been provided to me that I have to stay within to save that particular document file and the PDF file. And when I transfer over to Pages, it messes up the formatting.
Okay, so it's important for you then, Joanne, to keep the formatting and then also to keep those hot links hot.
Right.
Okay. Thoughts, Bill?
Well, the only thing to do with that at that point is if you can get a copy of Adobe Acrobat Standard, and then you'll be able to put the links back in, or just wait for the next office if you can. When the new office comes in, I'm sure they're going to put that together because that feature will be part of the next Word.
Okay, so it's basically a lack in the program.
Yeah, I've been using Office for the Mac 2011 for a while, and there are a number of things that don't work, that should work,
okay.
that do work in Word, but on the Mac don't. Now, that apparently is being taken care of. And ironically, we folks who are on the Macs may get that office, that new office, before the rest of the folks mm-hmm. who are on the PCs get theirs.
It's always okay. first on the Mac, yeah.
Now, I want you to I'm going to put you on hold because there's some other things that we have some thoughts on too, okay? And we'll come back to you. And then we've got some room for some other folks there as well. So thank you very much, Joanne, and we'll get
thank
back
you.
In just a moment, okay? And for the rest of you, we still have some time. We got about 15 minutes left, and here's the number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. You still have a chance to get your question. Just quickly before we get to our next caller, I want to do a round of thank yous here. Thank you to Shane Hamblin.
Hey.
Bill Carver.
You're welcome.
Matt Rausch, thanks for being here with us as well.
Oh,
this is fun.
Delighted. And also the men behind the glass right now, that is Rich Lutinsky. Thank you so much, our engineer. Eric Dorsch.
Sweet.
Yes. Thank you guys for doing a great job here. By the way, again, folks, go to internetadvisor.net tomorrow night, Sunday night, and you will find the entire podcast there. You can download that. Or, by the way, you can subscribe through iTunes or one of the other download services that are there. And you'll also be able to get our weekly podcast, 2 hours. Now, by the way, once again, after the beginning of April, we will have 1 hour every week on WJR, but it will be the question and answer hour. And it's kind of like, you know, it's your ability to kind of walk into a shop and say, hey, I've got this issue. Can you help me? And most often we got an answer. And if we don't, we'll point you in a direction that you can get an answer. We were talking with Joanne about that offline a little bit. And Bill, as a matter of fact, you were suggesting a subscription to...
To Adobe's Acrobat Online, which is about $13 a month to get that. So it's really inexpensive. That would buy
and
your
it's
time.
Month by month. And then eventually, I think within the next few months, Microsoft is going to release the entire Office suite for Mac. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm just anxious to see how that works, and hopefully it worked very well.
Yeah, we've seen part of that, but I can't tell you that. It's a total secret, just between you and me.
Okay, Outlook has come down already, hasn't it?
Outlook has come down already, yeah. It looks pretty much like the Windows Outlook with a couple extra little Mac-like things, but so far so good.
And working pretty well?
Works pretty well.
Okay, good. So, folks, it's on the horizon there. 800-859-0957. Still time for you to get a call in. But I just want to make sure that you folks understand that when you hear the Internet Advisor on WJR, after the beginning of April, between April and September, it will be the 1 hour in which you can call with your questions. And so 800-859-0957 doesn't cost you anything. No matter where you're listening, you can give us a call, and we will do our very best to help you. All right, let's get back to Ramesh. Do we have you with us right now?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
I'm delighted. Okay, how can we help you?
I have an HP laptop and a Windows 8.
Okay.
When I turn my computer on, only thing I can see is the white screen, and when I move the mouse, I can see it. I don't see any icons or desktop. I'm not sure what's going on.
Hmm. And you said you had Windows 8?
Yes.
Okay.
The HP laptop.
Okay. So basically, you're just seeing a white screen. What color was the original background of your computer?
Gray.
Grayish.
A bunch of icons, yeah.
There's not a ton that you could possibly do unless... One thing I can recommend is you do what we call a Control-Alt-Delete. You just hit your Control, then your Alt, and then your Delete all down at once. And that'll bring up an option to go into what we call the Task Manager. And once you're in the Task Manager, you can restart the Explorer.exe program. Because that's what starts up your desktop. You know, it gets all the icons going. It kind of pumps the blood.
Yeah. I had tried that, Control-Alt-Delete, and nothing happened.
Okay. You know, it's one of those things. Have you tried going into safe mode?
Well, like I said, I can't see any word. There's nothing I can read or do anything.
No, what he's talking about is that you had shut down the computer and then started up. And how do you do that with Windows 8?
Well, you have to go into Windows first. I mean, there's a real tricky way to do it from startup. But the easiest way to go into the config, msconfig, and then go in and change the boot method. But if you can't get into Windows, you can't get in. But now you said you did the Control-Alt-Delete already, correct?
Right.
Now, did you go into the Task Manager?
Like I said, I can't see anything on the screen to type or anything.
Oh, so when you do Control-Alt-Delete, nothing comes up?
Correct.
Ah, so then basically what you'll have to do is sometimes if you go into shut down your computer... and restart it. If you hit sometimes with Windows 8, if you hit F8, there'll be a key. It'll say 11, F11 maybe, where you can go in and do some recovery options.
Ah, yes. You get the recovery screen.
That'll take into some of the repair options. And you might want to do a where you can restore back, you know, a few days.
Okay.
But every computer, and which I hate, I wish they'll standardize this. I wish Windows would standardize this, was every computer there. Their button, their
key, the button for getting into that
is different.
Yeah,
you know, some it's F11, some it's F8, where it's in the options of the, you know,
Bill.
Now, one thing you can also try, it's possible that your computer thinks that there's more than one monitor on it, and everything's on the other monitor, and there's actually a key combination you can do, which is Windows P, stands for projector. And if you hit those two at the same time, you might get a menu that comes up that says PC screen only, duplicate, extend, or second screen only. And you might be stuck on second screen only, but as soon as you hit Windows P, if it's working, it'll come up on the screen.
How long have you had your laptop?
Almost a year.
Okay, so this is a fairly new one, right?
Yes, yeah.
What happened before this? I mean, was there an event that occurred where this suddenly happened?
No, I used it on Sunday night, and it would not shut off. So I just pulled my plug out in the power source. I let it run on battery and die because I couldn't turn it off. And I tried window, and I like Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the menu, task manager, so I can shut it off. I couldn't do any of that. So I said, okay, only option I have is pull the plug, let it run on battery, and stop.
Yeah.
So when I turned it on yesterday, all I could see was, you know, gray screen, and I couldn't move my mouse.
Hmm.
I was worried. Maybe I'm afraid that my hard drive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like you did any permanent damage to the hard drive. Maybe you just corrupted your boot sector. That's it. Which you'll have to run a repair. Which will.
Is this the kind of thing where you would suggest bringing it to the shop?
Probably bring it to a shop.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you sound very capable of doing these things. What happens? We have to repair the boot sector in this machine.
Okay.
So that would require taking a Windows 8 media disk, putting it in, booting to that media disk, and then running the install. And once we get to a certain point of that install, it'll say repair. You want to run that repair.
Is that the repair disk that tell you to create?
Just your Windows 8 media disk. You put your Windows 8 disk in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll boot to that disk, and it looks like it's going through just the regular install to install Windows.
Ah, but it'll get to the repair place.
Right before it does that install, you'll see repair computer. Just click on repair computer, and it'll go through the repair. It'll try to repair that startup.
Ramesh, do you have that disk?
I put it away when I bought it, so I'm going to look for it.
Yeah, look for it. If not, you'll have to, unfortunately, take it to a shop somewhere nearby your, you know, where you live.
But it sounds like what you're saying then, Shane, is if he's got that disk, if he can find it.
And he can boot to it, then there's a chance he can repair that boot.
Exactly.
That
you put it into, now, do you have a DVD drive on that?
Yes.
Okay, well, then you would put that in there.
And there's a key combination. Every computer is different. Most times sometimes it's F10, F9. What you want to do is you want to boot to that CD-ROM.
Okay. If I try flash drive, would that help me?
You can boot to either one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if it has the recovery disk on it,
Okay. All right. I'll try that.
Yeah, and then the idea, so you're not out of luck. I mean, the idea then is if you get that installed disk in there, it will get to a place where it can do a recovery for you.
Correct.
Right. Well, the two most popular keys, by the way, to change that boot disk is either F2 or F12. Dell is each one of those two. I've seen that with Toshiba and others. So,
the maddening thing, as you're saying, Shannon, you see these things all the time, is that it depends on the manufacturer. But F2 and F12 with Dells, and you're using a Dell, right, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you what it is. I've never had to use it.
See, for mine, my gateway, it's F9.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy. Well, hey, Ramesh, let us know how it works for you, okay?
Okay, I'll call back. Thanks very much.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. And I tell you what, Bob from Dearborn, hang on. We'll get to you after we're off the air here. For the rest of you folks, thank you so much for joining us. And you know what? Can I ask you to remember Ed Riddell's wife in your prayers and thoughts? She's had a really tough time. She was in the hospital over the weekend. That's part of the reason why Ed wasn't with us. And Tina, we're praying for you, and we hope that you get well, and we can get Ed back here as well this coming week. Thank you, folks. Thank you all. Matt Roush, thank you. Bill Carver, Shane Hamlin.
Yes.
Good to have you guys here.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Same time, same station. Next week, we'll be back with you again, and we're going to have a very special Microsoft show this coming week. And talk about Windows 10 and a lot of other stuff that's on its way. I'm Foster Brown. Have a great week, folks. And don't forget, InternetAdvisor.net is where it's all happening.